short, and that's good. I apologize. I don't know. I just feel like there would be a good Sunday for them to hang with us. It's Father's Day, so the fathers can keep them in line, and if the kids get out of line, it's completely the father's fault, so that'll work this morning, right? Y'all got to listen up with me this morning. It's me. It's not Sid. It's going to be very visual this morning. We're going to do something I feel like God showed me that I need to do. And we'll just kind of go from there. We're going to be in the book of Amos. If you can't find Amos, you're not alone. It's one of the prophets in the Old Testament, so it's after Psalms and all that. It's kind of in that mash before the New Testament. Feel free to use your table of context if you need to, because I did, okay? It's all right. It's an obscure book, but it's one of the prophets in the Old Testament. And I was trying to figure out, you know, Sid asked me Monday if I could cover for today because I've been gone. They were going to be gone. And I was kidding the other night, telling Kami and Linda, every time Sid asks me, I feel like I don't have anything else. Like, I've given y'all all I've got. I've totally unloaded anything that that I've had downloaded. So I'm out of stuff. So every time Sid's asked me, I'm like, great. Now what am I going to do? But God shows me constantly that has absolutely nothing to do with me, has absolutely nothing to do with anything that I know, because that wouldn't take y'all very long to learn that, but it's what He wants to show us. So this is going to be an illustration this morning for you guys, so y'all just hang with me, and I think somebody will get something out of this morning. But the reason I always struggle with where should I go, and when I look back on it, let me see, I should have pulled this up. When I look back and I say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to teach from? Where do you want me to go? If I look back, there's always these little clues, I feel like, that He has given me that I didn't realize were clues as I went past them. And we were blessed to get to go on a trip out west in our camper, and we went around to a lot of really cool places. And we went to several places. If you follow us on Facebook, you know where we went. It was a lot of fun. But we went to Rocky Mountain National Park. And, you know, every town you go into has got little stores where you can get T-shirts and stuff. So we go in looking for the $10 T-shirts. That's what we're going to get. And that's kind of our souvenirs and everything. But this was not this was just your average T-shirt shop that we went to in Estes Park. Just, you know, your run-of-the-mill, you know, Estes Park and all that stuff. So we all got T-shirts and stuff like that. And it wasn't like this overly Christian place that I felt like, but I was walking like into one of the rooms to look at some of the stuff, and I see this poster on the wall, and it's actual picture of one of the landscapes from Estes Park or from Rocky Mountain National Park. And they have this beautiful picture, and I should have given it to Cindy. This is what I should have sent you, but I didn't. Sorry. Under it, it's got this picture, and then, you know, it's typed out. It says, "He who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man, he who turns dawn to darkness and treads in high places of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name." Amos 4:13. So random. I took a picture of it. And I was like, wow, this is an interesting thing to be in here. Even these people, they're just big skiers and big hikers and all this stuff. They realize, you know, there's something more to this than just the plates push these mountains up. Yeah, that may be what God used to make those mountains. But so I'm looking back saying, God, you want me to preach out of Amos because it was so obscure. I mean, that's an obscure passage to me personally because I'm not a Bible scholar. It kind of jumps out like Amos. You know, who reads Amos? I think Nick reads Amos every night, but other than that, most of us don't. And so I go to Amos and I start reading. I'm like, okay, this is where God wants me, because that's my little cue. That's my little thing that I saw that's like, okay, this is where we're going to go. And you start reading Amos, and it's like one of the most depressing books in the Bible. Because Amos is all about condemnation and wrath of God, and Israel had fallen away from God once again, that they do so many times, Brad. I mean, you know how it is. The Old Testament is just Israel falls away and they come back, they fall away and they come back, they fall away and they come back, just like we fall away and we come back and we fall away and we come back. The description of Amos is interesting. It says this book gives us, this is my little intro in my Bible, which I always like to do because it kind of gives you some context. It says it takes a hard look at injustice and sends out a call to righteousness. Amos tells how God feels when the wealthy and the powerful exploit the poor and the defenseless. Regardless of your current financial situation, you'll find these challenging words hit close to home. And this is the interesting thing it says about Amos. This message was for the people of Israel, the northern kingdom. Amos was from the southern kingdom. He challenged their materialism and their morality and all those things. Many were exploiting the poor. Amos wrote to remind them that God takes a special interest. It says that Amos speaks passionately about God's concern for the poor. I'm reading this for a reason. It's kind of funny. He urges a return to righteousness. He says when he speaks to the poor, let's see. I missed it. This I don't know where it's at. I've lost it. Sorry. It says that Amos had no training and no experience whatsoever, and they can't find any records of Amos having any knowledge whatsoever. He was just this regular guy that they have no record of, never went to seminary, never went to this and that, this conference or that conference. He says he was just a regular guy that had a word from the Lord. He just had a word from the Lord. That's how they described him in their little introduction that I couldn't find. But that's us, guys. When God puts something in us, when God gives us something to speak to somebody, Truman, when you're on your job and these big, tough firefighters are around and you know this guy's struggling with his marriage and you know that you can touch him, you know that you can speak into him, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why you're there, to speak into those people's life, to change people's life, to show them that picture and that window of God's love. And if you read Amos, you don't feel that love until toward the end of it. It changes abruptly. If you go in, if you're reading Amos, and there's certainly really great stuff in it, like that verse I just told you is really clippets of stuff, but it's a little tough sometimes because it's just all this wrath of God, all this wrath of God, all this wrath of God. And then you come to chapter 9 in Amos, and you come to verse 11. And all of a sudden, there's an abrupt change in Amos's message to the people of Israel. There's a quick change, and it goes from condemnation and disaster to promise and love. And all of these prophets that you see and read, they'll tell you straight up. God will tell you straight up, you're messing up. You are falling short of what I've called you to be. He will tell you that. That's called discipline. That's called correction. That's not called condemnation, though. That's different. Don't let it be a condemning thing. That's love. That's love. That's a father's love. It's Father's Day. We're talking about a father's love. Fathers, if you don't correct your children, then you don't truly love them. I'm going to tell you that straight up. If you don't correct your children when you see that they're doing something that's not appropriate, then you don't love your children the way that you should love them. If you're trying to be cool man and cool dad and all that, don't work. I'll tell you right now. I'm not the best dad in the world, but I know there's principles in this word that tell us that. God does that to me, so I know that I should do that with my children. Okay? So that's just a little nugget that wasn't in my notes. We're not here to be best friends. We're here to be fathers. Now, we can be friends, and we can be all that other stuff, and that's great. We're here to be fathers. And you need correction sometimes. I need correction sometimes, and I need my Heavenly Father to do that. But then there's promise. Why do we correct our children? Because we know there's a promise. We know that if our children will do these things this way, then their blessings will be so much greater than if they don't. Okay? So, it changes, and it talks about going from Israel being this, you're messed up, to basically there's going to be restoration, and we'll read it in just a second. But it's also, and when I talk to you guys, I always try to say, everywhere in Scripture points to Christ. Everywhere in Scripture points to Christ. This book is so amazing, and God put it together that's this roadmap to Jesus. So what's happening here in this verse, it says in verse 11, I'm in the NIV for a reason. It says, in that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do all things. He's talking about one day the Messiah is going to come. His name is Jesus. If you go to Acts chapter 15, Paul references Amos. And he talks about it. And the way that he talks about it, this part right here, guys, is really important. It says, "And all the nations that bear my name." You see, none of us, or not many, I don't know if there's any actual Jewish people in here, but most of us are what they call Gentiles. We're not Jewish. We're not God's chosen people that you see in the Old Testament. He chose the Jewish people. He pulled them out of these people and said, "You are going to be my chosen people. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to expect a lot more out of you because you're my chosen people." So we're not Jewish. So where does that leave us? That leaves us right here. "And that all nations that bear my name," when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you walk in who He is, you become part of that family. You are the Gentiles that God loves and cares about, and we are just like the Jewish people in God's eyes as far as His love for us and His choosing us and the blessings. And you know, Sid constantly talks about in here, which is so true, that's how we tap into those things. Because God said, "Yeah, you're my chosen people, but guess what? I love everybody. I've got a purpose for this people, but I have a purpose for you as well." So this is a very important thing that I know in their time they didn't get, but if you look back on it, it's pointing to Christ, it's pointing to Jesus. Everything in this Bible right here, from the front to the back, points to Jesus and His love for us and His compassion on us, His sacrifice for us, and His doing what He did allows us to be in His presence. Without that, we can't be there. Guys, without that, we're not the chosen people. Without that, we're not there. Understand that. So that's an important part right there. But I feel like God wanted me, He really keyed me in on one verse of this. It says, "In that day I will restore David's fallen tent." In the King James and a few other, it says, "the tabernacle of David." The tabernacle, if you know anything about it, was a tent. It was a canvas structure. It had all these really, really significant, important parts in it. And if I was smart enough, I would teach you guys about it, but I'm not. It's very significant, very symbolic, the tabernacle was, but it was a tent. It was this thing that was erected with poles and canvas and all this other stuff. Why had David's tent fallen? It's a metaphor. It's speaking figuratively that his tent has fallen. That means that in this time, Israel was not following God. They were away from God. They were missing the mark. So his tent had fallen. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. It wasn't protecting what it was supposed to protect. It wasn't standing in which the place it was supposed to stand. The people had more faith in themselves than they did in God. That's why it had fallen. They had more faith in their wealth, because at this time, Israel was extremely wealthy. They were making big money, and what the problem was all the rich people weren't taking care of the poor people. Okay, so God, and they were getting all into themselves and the money that they were making and the physical and worldly success that they were having, and they weren't thinking about God and they weren't thinking about His kingdom. The more faith, they had more faith in the created things than they had in the Creator. I've been there. God taught me a big lesson when we started our company, because I had more faith in Lee Fabricators giving me a check every week than I did in God providing my check every week. So God had to challenge that. He said, "Well, I'll just take that away from you and see how you do. See if you learn and can adapt and understand that I'm the one that brought you that paycheck every week, not this company." It's so easy to get there. It's so easy to build our kingdoms. You remember that song, "Let All My Kingdoms Fall"? Who sang that? I was always scared to sing it. Who sang that song? Y'all remember it? "Let all my kingdoms fall. I surrender all." Who was it, Truman? You remember that song? That was back in our day, so it's old. I was afraid to sing that song. I mean, it was a powerful song, and man, I'd group people on for singing it. But I'm like, "All my kingdoms fall. I don't really want all my kingdoms to fall." But God's like, "Sometimes your kingdoms need to fall so that you see who I am." So this verse... And this is where it's going to get dicey, guys. Y'all got to work with me. But I felt like this is what we needed to do. This verse, it talks about David's fallen tent. That just kept striking me. And, you know, if you're at VBS this week, most of you were, or at least saw the setup. We were out, the theme, we were kind of out in our backyard gazing at the stars. And the creation was proving to us God and His existence and everything. It was really cool. And we had a telescope. We had a fire pit up here. We had a tent set up. And I thought, well, we've had a tent up all week. That's what I'm gonna use. So I used to have a small tent, so I went to Walmart last night, and I got us a tent. And God wants me to use this tent to explain how we need to build our faith. And we're going to put this thing up. Okay, so y'all bear with me. That's what I was told to do. I'm afraid not to do what I was told to do. So, with a tent, you see, they come with these bags, and they always come with a bag that they don't fit in, which has nothing to do with my lesson. Maybe you could pull something spiritual out of it. If you do, please let me know later. But they never make the bags big enough. And I'm pretty good with tents, and I couldn't get this thing back in here. Me and Isaac rolled this thing out last night. I said, we got to put it together so I know that we know how to do it. This tent, it represents God in our lives. David's tent was the presence that God had in his life, the ability to utilize God and to tap into God and to be in Him. Okay? So when you're saved and when you accept Him and you really, really buy into this thing, I'm not just talking about you had an emotional experience, but you really love the Lord, and you're like, I'm going to walk this thing out. You get a tent. You get this bag. God says, I'm with you. Here you go. I'm with you. I'm right here with you. You got everything that you need in that bag. When you get saved, you don't just halfway get saved. And yes, there's absolutely a second indwelling of the Holy Spirit and a third and a fourth and all that stuff, and we can dive deeper. But the day that you got saved, you are 100% fully equipped to do His will. Now, you may not have the knowledge, you may not have the experience, which we'll get to that, but you've got everything that you need. He doesn't send soldiers to the battlefield without what they need. They've got their helmet. They've got their chest plates. They've got their weapons. They've got their combat boots. He sends you out with everything that you need. Do not think that you don't have what it takes to do what God's called you to do. You have it. It's all in the bag. It's all in what you've got. And maybe this will fit here. So God is this tent. Okay, what does a tent do for us? Why do we have tents? I apologize for the grass. I'll vacuum later. Somebody worked really hard to clean this church up. So what does a tent do for us? Why do we have tents? Provide shelter. What else? Y'all interact with me. What else does it do? Gives you... What's that? Keeps the weather out. That's right. It provides shelter for us. It gives us a home. It gives us a place to be. When I used to hike and actually spend the night in a tent, which has been a long time ago, that was the exciting part. You're like, man, I've been hiking all day. We're going to set up our tent, and we're going to get going. We're going to sleep. We're going to relax. We're going to abide into something. I'm going to abide in this tent. God wants us to abide in Him. God doesn't want us to leave Him rolled up in that bag. Say, yeah, I got saved when I was 12 years old. And I go to church every once in a while, and, you know, I love God. And I'm a Christian. You know, I vote for Christians and all this stuff. But we leave Him in that bag. And yeah, He's with us, and we're saved, and we've got the bag, and we've got His presence and everything. And we may roll it out like this a little bit. But what good does this tent do me like this right here? I mean, I could get in it, I guess, like a sleeping bag. And what am I going to do when the wind strikes? What am I going to do when the storms come? What am I going to do when someone in my family passes away from cancer and they weren't supposed to do that? What am I going to do when this relationship goes south? What am I going to do when I lose my job and I shouldn't have lost my job? What am I going to do when this happens? And we think, oh, well, I've got God with me, but I don't feel like God's with me. I feel like He's just rolled up in a bag. I just feel like He's kind of with me and it's just by name, but where is He at? There's an important part to a tent that activates its power. And it's these. What are these? Guys, what are these? Tent poles, right? Tent poles. Or you probably have used them as swords before, and that's okay. I broke a few myself that way. Tent poles. I'm like, God, what's the deal with the tent poles? Where am I going with this whole tent illustration? And we were going to use the Garth Brooks head and mic, but we don't know where it's at because Jeffrey's not here, so y'all bear with me. This is our faith, guys. These poles are our faith. And we have to put our faith together. We have to understand our faith. We have to work in our faith. By the way, they make tents different than they used to. So, is going to church going to change my life in and of itself? Let me tell you, there's plenty of people. Look at this. There's plenty of people that go to church every Sunday that don't have a clue who God is and what He wants out of their lives. They go because you're a good Southern guy. That's what you're supposed to do. And I don't think we got a lot of those in our church, I'll be honest with you. But I've got these poles. Now I got to know what to do with them. God wants you to activate your faith. He wants you to depend on your faith. As you get into this government thing, you're going to find out some stuff. You probably already have. I think you probably knew some stuff before you got into it, but you're going to find out a lot more stuff. You better have these tent poles out. You better know how to use them. Because the world's going to come against you. He's going to come against everybody in this room. When those storms hit, if I've got my tent out and my poles put together, but I don't know how to do anything with them, I don't know how to use my faith. I'm not in the Word like I'm supposed to be. I'm not talking to my brothers and sisters like I'm supposed to be. I'm not pressing in and trying to worship like God wants me to press in and try to worship. Then this is not going to do as much good as it could. Now here's another element of this thing that God kind of showed me when I was trying to figure out how to do this. This is a big tent. It needs to do a lot of things. God's got big calling in my life. He's created us all to have this big tent that's supposed to cover and protect and do a lot of things. But I'll tell you right now, I've got a microphone in my hand and you know how these tents are. It's going to be real difficult for me to do this by myself. And men, we try to do it by ourselves. Truman, we try to do it by ourselves. I'm a man. I got this thing figured out. I don't need any help. I'm the world's worst. How many of you guys have I ever called? Raise your hand. Have I ever called you and said, hey, something's broke at my house. Can you come over and help me fix it? Anybody in here? Have I called any of you? How many times, Cammie, have I needed to call somebody and say, I don't know how to fix this. I need some help. Have I called anybody in here? Scott, have I ever called you and said, man, My plumbing's messed up. I can't figure it out. You crawl under my house with me and figure it out. I haven't because of my pride, because I think I can figure it out. And I don't want to bother you. I've got this figured out. And when we try to do that in our faith, oh man, I don't know what this scripture means. I have no clue, but I'm not going to go ask Sid about it. Because Sid will think that I'm not as spiritual as I think he thinks I'm real spiritual, and I don't want him to think that I'm not as spiritual as I really am. I've had many conversations with Sid. I say, brother, I don't see how you see this. And there's still things. I still don't see how he sees certain things in the Bible. I just don't get it. And that's okay. We have to have help in this thing. That's why we're here. That's why we're here this morning. Because if we could do it by ourselves, we wouldn't be here. That's why you need to be here or in a body somewhere. I mean, it is what it is. You need to be plugged in, and you need to have somebody that you can call and say, hey, I'm trying to get my tent back up. I'm trying to get my tent where it needs to be so that I can do the things that God has called me to do. But I just can't do it by myself. I need some help. How do I get past this? How do I figure this out? So I'm going to get Isaac come up here and help me. He knows. He even said he was going to comb his hair this morning because I knew he was going to come help me. So we're going to put this up. Probably going to have to put this microphone down to do it, right? All right? You remember how to put it together? All right, y'all work. Bear with us. Bear with us, okay? So, y'all can hear me. All right, we're going to put this one through here. You ready? Slide it through the top. Got it? There we go. Plug it into that end. This is also Scouting 101 for y'all. All right, and we'll feed you this one. Looks like we got a big space down here. Here this one come. There you go. Nice. Got it plugged in. Perfect. Now come over here.
We got to hold on to this or it'll fly off.
Ready? Grab that right there.
Put this thing, slide these holes in here.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Now flip these up. Flip these up. What did we just do? We worked together. But what do we have to do? We had to communicate with each other. I had to tell Isaac my problem. Isaac, I can't put this tent up. I'm struggling in this area. I'm having problems in this area. I just can't seem to break through when I worship. What do I need to do differently? My marriage is struggling. What do I need to do differently? My kids are doing this. What do I need to do differently? I just don't feel like I'm hearing God's voice. What do I need to do differently? If I never vocalize that, if I never share that with my brothers and sisters, then I never get help to put my tent back up. David's tent stays on the ground. When we try to isolate ourselves and we try to pretend like everything's okay, I don't need your help. So don't do that. That's why we're here. Don't judge somebody when they come to you. Open with arms wide open. Oh, you don't know how to... No problem. I'll come help you do that right now. Isaac didn't hesitate. I said, Isaac, come help me. He's helping me. We got the tent up. Look, it's up. We have shelter. We've activated our faith. And we're doing things that God's called us to do. We're saying, now, you know what? It's like me this morning. I'm putting a tent up in the middle of the church. This makes no sense. But we're doing it. But you see, there's some stuff in here that, I mean, this is great. It's going to keep the bugs out. We'll keep all my gear kind of in it. But I got a problem if it starts raining. What's the problem? Guys, what's the problem? If I'm in this tent right now and it starts raining, what's the problem? Why? There's not a roof. It's mesh. It's made to keep bugs out. It's made to keep little things out. But it's almost like there's a third part. It's almost like there's God the Father that loves us and is going to contain us in His love. The faith that we have in Jesus Christ. But there's one other element, and that's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be, what is this? What part of the tent is this, guys? The rain fly. Rain fly. And they call it rain fly because if you try to put this thing up in the rain, it's flying away. You better have it in place. Grab it on that side, Isaac. Let's put it on. So a lot of Christians, we believe in God, no question. We believe in Jesus that He loves us, but we don't tap into this Holy Spirit thing the way we should. We think that's a, that means that you're going to be in the floor speaking in tongues and, you know, all this stuff that, you know, I'm not sure about and I'm trying to figure out and I've never had that necessarily happen to me that way and I'm just not spiritual enough to tap into the Holy Spirit. That's for super spiritual people. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you do not allow the Holy Spirit in your life, let's slide that in there. Let's just make it look right. We've gone this far. Then you're going to be susceptible to the rain. You're going to be susceptible to these things that God doesn't intend for you to have to deal with. All right? So you've got to use, and I don't know how to do this. This pokes in here. Madeline was asking me what the point of this was. I said, it's like a, Isaac, come here. Again, help. Plug that in over there. Goes in that hole. There we go. So Madeline said, it's a porch. It's a front porch. She said, like you're going to sit there in the rain? I said, sure. Again, this is a $30 tent at Walmart. I don't advise taking this to Everest. That's right. Y'all saw how we struggled getting this tent up the second time we put it up. There's an element of, I don't want to activate my faith because I'm not as good at it as other people are. If somebody had this tent and they knew how to do it, man, they'd had it up. And man, Isaac, oh, where does this go? I'm trying to figure this out. And we don't want to, Jeff, we don't want to go there because we're not going to look as slick as somebody else does. Like, I don't preach as slick as Sid does. Sid could stand up here right now and I could give him a topic and he'd preach for 2 hours on it and it'd be deep and meaningful. But he has a lot more experience than I do doing this. So if I said, well, I'm just not going to do it till I get that good, guess what? I never get that good. If I never put this tent up for the second time, I never get good at putting this tent up. If I never learn how to activate my faith, and if I never have trials in which I have to activate my faith, then I never get good at it. And I'm not as good at helping others do it. So we've got this tent, and I feel like we've got the three parts. The three parts of God are activated in our life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all activated in our lives. Our tent is a relationship with God. Our poles are the faith that activates God in our lives, our faith in Christ. The rainfly is the Holy Spirit covering us, protecting us, and allowing us to weather the storm. But there's more to a tent. If you just put this up, you're good. I think we're good. We'll take it down later. Thank you, buddy. Good job, Isaac. Everybody, good job. Y'all see my other two every Sunday, and that's my third one, and he's just as awesome as the other two. So I'll plug that on Father's Day. If I just put this up, man, it looks good. It looks like a tent. Everything looks right. There's a few things you've got to think about when you're putting up a tent. And I can't do it in here, obviously, because we're not on the ground, but the wind could catch that thing and take it off somewhere. Why? What have I not done, guys? What have I not done to the tent? Stakes in it. Exactly. I got to put stakes in this tent. And they come with it. Even my $30 Walmart tent came with a whole bag of stakes. And what do we do with these stakes? Put them in the ground. We anchor them. You know what we anchor them in? We put this one on this corner. We say, I know God's love for me. And I put it in that one. I know it. I know it because He said it. And then I go to the other side and I say, I know God's faithfulness. I know God's faithfulness and I'm going to drive it right here into my faith with Him. I know His faithfulness and it will not be moved. I'm putting my faithfulness in this corner. I'm putting His love in this corner. And I go to that corner and I say, His promises. I know His promises for me. The Bible tells us His promises and His love and how much He cares for us. And if we read it, we begin to activate that. And I've got another stake to put in this tent that keeps it from going anywhere. And then I know His sacrifice for me. It's not just, I love you. I did something about it. I put my love into action. So I put that stake down. And then I'm not going to be moved anymore. I'm not going to be moved when I have the stakes in the tent, when I have things where they're supposed to be, and I activate those things. And then you've got some other stuff. What are these? Guys, y'all know what these strings on the side are called? You know what these are called? Y'all are doing pretty good. Scouting 101. Guy lines. These are all around this. These are our experiences with God. So I went into some, let's say I went into deep depression over something. And I got out of it. And I got out of it with God's love. And I got out of it and everything. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this stake next time I set this tent up. And I say, I know depression tries to get me sometimes. So I'm going to pull this thing down right here. And I know that God loves me, and I know that God got me out of that, and I'm going to pull this down right here, and I'm going to stake this in the ground. So the next time depression comes this way and strikes the tent on this side of me, I know that's where He hit me before, and I have put a guy line down. I have walked there before. I've had an experience with God, and God came through. And I say, Satan, I'm not today, buddy. Not today. I've tied this baby down. You can send that wind all you want, but there's a stake right here, and it's not pushing me over. It's not pushing me over. And the next thing that comes, I say, well, I didn't do a good job being a dad. I failed as a dad. You know, my kids are already, you know, they're already out of school and everything, and I failed. And God says, oh, no, you've got something to do in their lives. You've got something to change in their lives. Right now, you start today. You tie this one down, and you say the same thing. Satan, you won't get me from this side. And then you do the same thing with other experiences in your life. And you tie this thing down everywhere. And it prevents Satan. He's like, well, man, he's got his tent up. He's activated his faith. He's covered with the Holy Spirit. He's staked it down with all the truths that God has provided for him and His Word, these truths of His love and His forgiveness and all this stuff. He's staked it down. And now now he's got it, you know, because if that's just staked down, the wind can flatten this thing. It can flatten it. It won't go anywhere. But he flattened it. It's not helping you. So you activate these things and these experiences in our lives. Scott, you're not walking through this right now because you can't handle it. It's because you've been there before and you've put this stake down for your family. And you'll say, I will not move. I know I'm not going to let anybody veer off. I know that God loves us. I know that God has a plan for us. I know through the hurting, we will come out of it the other side. I'm tying this thing down. So when this sadness from death hits this side, somebody staked this thing down already because you've been there. And it helps protect those people that are inside of it. You see, we put these tents up for ourselves. We put them up for our families. We put them up for our churches. We put them up for our communities. What tent are you putting up today? It better be not just for yourself. It's not just for yourself. Let me just tell you, let's clarify that. We do these things because what we do affects other people. It affects how other people live. Because what happens when they see this? Cindy, you got my picture you found for me? This is on Mount Everest. One of the base camps. I'm not sure where it's at, but you see, there's more than one tent there. Somebody had to be the first person to put up a tent in that little valley right there. And the next guy came and said, hey, they've got a tent here. They've survived here. I'll put my tent up too. I'll put mine up too. And the next guy, I'll put mine up too. And the next person, I'll put mine up too. Because when we activate our faith, it gives us permission, and we talk about this all the time, it gives people permission to do the same thing. It says, well, if yours can stand through the storm, mine can stand through the storm. So I'm going to put it up. I've seen so-and-so walk through this. I've seen so-and-so walk through this. I've watched my church walk through this. And they came out on the other side. So I'm going to put mine up. It's going to make it. We're going to survive the night. We're going to be okay. I'm going to put it up. Give others permission to take their fallen tent that has fallen, and it is not where it's supposed to be. It's not built like it's supposed to be. The poles are out of it. The main thing is the faith was gone. Once you put in faith, you can build around that. Satan wants to seal your faith in God. He wants to make you think that He doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. There's also an element of this, and I'm wrapping this up, that I'll do my little notepad. When you're putting up a tent, you got to be careful where you put it. If you're somewhere and you see this real low spot, this ditch almost, and it's just got lots of pine straw in it, it looks so soft and inviting, I'll put my tent right there. That's going to be great. It's this nice, real, you know, comfortable spot and everything, and you put your tent up there, and then a rainstorm comes. Why is that ditch there? It's where all the rain goes. God wants you to put your tent in an appropriate place, on high ground. On high ground. When I used to go and hike back in the day when I did this, you wanted to find high ground. No rocks. A safe place. A sheltered place. Don't go into sin and think, I'm going to go in the midst of this sin. I'm going to go into the midst of this sin in my life. I'm going to put up a tent there and it's going to be good. No. God wants you to God wants you to get to a high place, a protected place. Don't try to put this up in places it doesn't need to be, in sinful places, in places that you know are wrong, when you're in a place that you know you're not supposed to be, when you're gossiping and you're talking about this person, you're like, I really shouldn't be, but man, it's so much fun. I'm going to do it anyway. And you're like, I'm going to pitch my tent up and we're going to pray for these people. No, no, that's not what it's God wanting you to do. You put this in a place that He wants it. You put your faith in appropriate places and you get in the proper place to do this. It's going to be hard to take communion with this thing up, but what does it bring us? We've got to finish reading our scripture. Powerful scripture. It kind of goes along with some of the stuff that Sid's been preaching out of Isaiah. We read down to verse through verse 12. If you start and pick up in verse 13, because it says, after he repairs David's fallen tent, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. And they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land that I have given them. What a promise. What a promise. The reaper will be outpaced by the plowman. That means that there is so much fruit and there's so much abundance that you're still trying to get it up. When it's time to start plowing again. When it's time to get out the plow and say, this ground should have been done a long time ago. It should have been sitting dormant a long time ago. But because the blessings of God and because we're abiding in our tent of Him, because we've been walking this way, we've been sheltered this way, we've been getting healthy this way, we've been growing in Him inside of who He is, then our blessings. Doesn't mean that there's still not difficulties and things like that, but God's blessings will overtake those things. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all of the hills. So this morning, I don't know who that was for. It was kind of for me. Use your faith, guys. Dads, stir up your faith in your kids. Build this tent right. Use all those things that God has had you walk through. You didn't walk through them because God wanted to hurt you. You walked through them so you would know what to do with them. So you would know how to protect your family from them. And not just dads, moms, brothers, sisters. This applies to everybody in here because you're in this body. Jeff, you got to build that for those kids in the Philippines. You got to build it every day. And Jeff, you know the things that will attack them better than they do. So, when you know that thing's going to attack, you protect them from it, and you stake that thing out, and you watch out for them, and you tell them about it. Say, listen, kids, you know, Satan's going to come and try to do this to you, or try to do this to you. This is how you fight it. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. We all have these tents that we have to put up for our families, for the people we're ministering to, for hurting families. The Watkins family right now, they need somebody to tie this thing down for them right now as they walk through this. Okay? Y'all, we've done it for one another. So that's what I wanted. If you need to come up here this morning and say, God, I need to give this to you. Hey, worship team, y'all want to come up and play? What were we going to do, Linda? We were going to do Reckless Love. Let's do Reckless Love. Reckless Love is a beautiful song, and you all know it probably. And it's talking about how recklessly God pursues us. No matter what storm is in our life, if we pitch our tent on the top of Mount Everest, one of the most brutal places on the planet to try to survive, oxygen is like zilch up there. Wind and storms are terrible up there. But yet people go because they're called to go up there. They feel like they need to climb this mountain. God will meet you where you're at. Yeah, maybe that's not the best place, but God's going to meet you. He loves you. He cares about you. No matter what your position in life is right now, He loves you. So if you need to come up and take communion, if you need to pray, if you don't, do what you need to do this morning. But just remember, God loves you. And let's pitch our tent. Let's not walk around with our tents on the ground like David's was in this. And let's hear from God.